Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, is Manchester's nightlife at risk? Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
On this week's show, Manchester's night and day venue is safe, but does the ruling in its legal battle with Manchester City Council put other nearby venues at risk? Plus, the BPI's legal threats against a service that uses AI to create cover versions of songs in seconds. But first, Chris, tell me something else that stood out for you in the music business this week.
Well, this has been a big week for music industry stats. Stats galore have been published in the last 7 days. If you are a fan of music industry stats, this was the week for you. But this isn't the edition of Setlist for you, because we're not going to dwell too much on the stats here this week. We actually have something else coming up where we're going to be doing just that, but we'll explain more about that later on in the show. But let's just quickly talk about one of the sets of stats that came out this week, which was Spotify updated its Loud and Clear website, which is the website that basically does two things. It has some stats that they update, I think, on an annual basis about how music is being consumed on the Spotify platform. And then it also has all the educational stuff about how the Spotify business model works and how the royalties are calculated and stuff like that. And big update to Loud and Clear this week. But the other thing that Loud and Clear does, as well as being interesting if you're a fan of stats, and indeed it's a good educational resource for telling people in the music industry, artists and songwriters, how streaming works, but it's also kind of a lobbying tool. Long time listeners of Setlist, when did Tom York have his Spotify diss? Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yeah.
We were doing a podcast back then, or is it sufficiently long ago that we weren't doing the podcast? Shall I say long-time readers?
No, I think it was in podcast time. We've been doing this a long time.
We have been doing the podcast
a long time.
But
it was also a long time ago, so I don't know.
Anyway, long-time readers / listeners / Spotify followers may remember when Tom York had his little rant about how Spotify, what was the famous word he used? I can't remember. There was some line, wasn't there? He was very dismissive about streaming.
Yeah, he called Spotify the last desperate fart of a dying corpse.
I think we can now say, without causing any controversy, that he was wrong. But around about that time, Tom York and a number of other artists were dissing Spotify. It was all part of the streaming is ruining everything, it doesn't pay narrative. And it was shortly after that that Spotify first launched the website that ultimately morphed into Spotify for Artists. And it's partly about providing useful data and useful information, but it's also partly about Spotify countering negative statements and criticisms within the music community. And I think today, Loud and Clear, as a specific website that is separate to Spotify for Artists, that is definitely one of the aims of Loud and Clear, which is to respond subtly, and sometimes not so subtly, to criticisms that people are making in the music community about Spotify. So when these stats get published, the stats are interesting in their own right. If you're a fan of stats and infographics, go and check them out. We will put a link in the show notes. But I'm always interested in, okay, well, what criticisms is this stat designed to counter? So, of course, big development in the world of Spotify in the last 12 months. One of the controversial things that has happened at Spotify is they've basically frozen millions of DIY artists out of the royalty pool under pressure from the major record companies, in particular Universal Music. Controversial in some quarters, particularly this quarter. I think it's a bullshit thing that they've done. But as a result of that, they didn't specifically say in their stats, we've frozen millions of DIY artists out of the royalty pool. But they did say, we are now focused on those artists most dependent on streaming as part of their livelihood. The 225,000 emerging and professional artists on Spotify in 2023. So that is them basically saying, screw the DIY artists, the grassroots artists. It is this 225,000 emerging and professional artists. That's what we care about. And that's what we are now focusing on. So I thought that was an interesting stat to basically respond. I wouldn't say effectively counter, but to respond to one of the criticisms that has come up in the last year.
Yeah, I mean, it also counters Spotify's mission statement, which, I mean, it's possible by the time this goes out, it will have been changed. But there's quite a lot of Spotify web pages still carrying the mission statement that it's going to help 1 million creators to live off their art. So it's that's been its mission statement for quite a long time. And now it apparently has a very different mission statement, which is less than a quarter of that is going to help.
Unless there's an awful lot of podcasters and audiobook writers making a full-time living on Spotify.
True. It did first start using that mission statement before it had podcasts on the system. So maybe it's the podcasters all making a living off the adverts on their podcasts on Spotify.
Yeah, I'd love to meet the 775,000 podcasters who apparently are making a full-time living from their Spotify ad money. I'd like to meet one, actually. Joe Rogan doesn't count. But yeah, interesting stats. Just a couple of others are clearly there to counter some narratives. And to be fair to Spotify, some of the criticism for Spotify in the music community is legit. Quite a lot of it isn't really. It's usually based on a misunderstanding of how Spotify works. But obviously, there is still a narrative from way back when Tom York was dissing the service, and this is still something you sometimes hear within the music community. Spotify doesn't pay. Streaming doesn't pay. No, says Loud and Clear. Spotify set the record last year once again for the highest annual payment to the music industry by a single platform, $9 billion plus. It's not just the major labels benefiting from that. That's another claim that's sometimes made. $4.5 billion, half of that money, went to indies. They said, OK, we accept it, Spotify, Loud and Clear, on the recording side. Things are great, but we all know how you screw over songwriters. It's the songwriters who get screwed over. No, says Spotify Loud and Clear. Spotify paid out $4 billion to publishing rights holders, who represent songwriters, over the last 2 years. I don't know why suddenly they're doing a two-year stat. But they are. And basically, everybody shut up, I think, is the summary of what Loud and Clear is trying to do. It won't work, but it's always interesting to see which criticisms Spotify is seeking to counter with its stats. So that happened this week. As for the other stats and how you can get our full analysis of them and what they tell us about the latest music industry trends, well, a little more on that later. But right now, there will be no more stats.
Instead, later on, we'll be talking through more of this week's most interesting music industry news stories, including the new £1 million fund to support music and visual arts businesses in tackling climate change. But first, Manchester's Night and Day music venue has welcomed the ruling in its legal dispute over a noise abatement order issued against it by the city's council nearly 3 years ago. It says the decision will allow it to continue to operate club nights that are vital to its financial viability, albeit with some changes. However, there have been concerns raised that the wording of the ruling will put other nearby venues at risk of being subject to similar action. Now, these potential issues are the result of Judge Margaret McCormack saying in her ruling that the Northern Quarter, where Night and Day and 13 other grassroots music venues are situated, is a mixed-use area rather than a cultural area, despite being best known for its abundance of bars, music venues, art galleries, museums, and more. Music Venue Trust CEO Mark David warned that this judgment places every music venue, nightclub, restaurant and bar in this area on notice that they will, upon receipt of a noise complaint by any resident, be required to change the nature of their business to accommodate such a complaint. And that, he said, makes it open season on Manchester's nighttime economy for developers.
Now, Manchester City Council issued a noise abatement order against Night and Day back in 2021 following a complaint from a single person who had recently moved into an adjacent building. The venue argued that the real problem, the reason why noise from its club nights was causing problems for this new neighbour, the problem began more than 20 years ago when Manchester City Council gave planning permission for the building next to the venue to be redeveloped into flats and apartments, and that the problem should have been dealt with back then. It also said that complying with the noise abatement order that had been issued would have a big impact on its club nights on a Friday and Saturday night, and that those club nights, although a relatively small part of what the venue does, are hugely important for that venue to be commercially viable. After Night and Day formally appealed the order, the case then ended up in the courts, and it dragged its way through the courts. It took quite a long time to get to this ruling. Recently, it was reported that the two sides, so that's Night and Day and the council, had spent nearly £200,000 on legal fees and related costs fighting this. But we finally got a ruling, and according to the local Democracy Reporting Service, Judge McCormack rejected the venue's appeal of the order, but said that she was willing to amend the order so that the noise restrictions in the revised order would basically be the noise restrictions that have been proposed by an expert hired by the venue itself. And Night and Day said that complying with the amended order will have an impact on more than half of its events, but it can live with those restrictions and it can continue to operate as a viable business, including with its albeit slightly amended club nights.
Yes, a spokesperson for Night and Day said, "This means we can continue with the club nights that Night and Day and other live music venues are so dependent on. DJ club nights contribute to developing the raw, amazing talent and emerging live music scene that grace our stage, Manchester and beyond." However, the spokesperson added, the venue is disappointed that the judgment will require it to make adjustments to its club nights to suit an occupier of what is a defective apartment. And, of course, there are those wider concerns. So, in her ruling, Judge McCormack said that Manchester's northern quarter is now a mixed-use neighbourhood. And in balancing the interests of the neighbouring resident and the venue, she said that the club nights that caused the noise issues did not have community value, basically because Night and Day's reputation comes from the gigs that are held earlier in the evening and there are other club nights on offer. So, I mean, it's no real surprise that this decision has caused concern for the wider grassroots venue community in Manchester.
Yeah, there are aspects of that judgment that play into what has been a big concern for nighttime industries and grassroots venues for a long time, which is that too often cultural businesses turn what are rundown neighbourhoods in a city into a desirable location. That then prompts developers to come in and build new residential properties. And then the cultural businesses are told that because of complaints from people living in those new properties, that they've got to change the way they operate. They've got to change their late night operations. And in doing so, that can then put the cultural businesses out of business. In theory, the so-called agent of change principle, which was added to planning guidelines across England and elsewhere in the UK, aims to stop that happening, at least in the context of new property developments. Under the agent of change principle, basically, if you are a property developer and you're putting a residential building next to an existing venue, you're meant to both anticipate and mitigate any future noise issues. So on one level, there have been changes in the UK in the last 10 years to deal with this, but there are still concerns, particularly where you have, as in the case of Night and Day, issues that were kickstarted by bad planning 10, 20 years ago, but still having an impact on nighttime businesses today. And so there are concerns. And I think the feeling was that some of the things that were said in this judgment, even though ultimately it kind of went in Night and Day's favour, could just exacerbate that existing problem.
Yeah, continuing his statement, Mark David said that the message from the case is that the Northern Quarter's days as a cultural hub are now numbered, and said that the Music Venue Trust had repeatedly warned Manchester City Council that pursuing this case was likely to end in a result that would put the area's nighttime businesses at risk. The council, meanwhile, said in a statement that music is a key ingredient of what makes Manchester special, and the council not only recognises this, but has for many decades supported and encouraged grassroots venues and emerging musical talent, and will continue to do so. It also noted that it's commissioned an independent review into the support Manchester's grassroots music venues need in order to secure their futures, and that the findings of that research will be published in May.
So we will see if the City Council does have a plan for ensuring that Manchester's venues and nighttime economy is properly supported, despite the specifics of the ruling in this Night and Day case.
Coming up later, the voice cloning AI platform accused of creating cover versions of existing songs illegally. But before that, let's quickly look at some other stories from the music industry this week, starting with performer health charity BAPAM, which has published a set of stats as it prepares to celebrate its 40th anniversary and has revealed that demand for focused health support from performers has doubled since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, with the number of mental health consultations increasing fourfold.
A group of music and visual arts companies have formed a new charity called Murmur, which will have a £1 million fund to offer grants to organisations and artists who are working in a way that will help tackle climate change. Founded by Caius Pawson of the Young Record label and Matthew Slotover of art magazine Freeze, a bunch of music companies are also involved from launch, including The Beggars Group, Ninjatune, Secretly Canadian, Because Music and K7.
The label that owns Scatman John's scatting classic Scatman has sued the Black Eyed Peas over an uncleared sample. Iceberg Records says that it provided a license that allowed the interpolation of the song into Black Eyed Peas' Bel Air Contigo, but it says the original recording was also sampled and that was not licensed.
As we mentioned earlier, this was also a big stats week for the music industry, as well as the Loud and Clear stats that we talked about at the start of the podcast. Both the IFPI and the consultancy Midia published their annual reports on trends in the global recorded music industry. According to IFPI, worldwide recorded music revenues grew by 10.2% last year to $28.6 billion, another all-time high, providing nobody adjusts the revenues generated during the peak of the CD era for inflation. We talked about that on a recent edition of the podcast. Midia's figures show $35.1 billion in global record industry revenues in 2023, quite a bit higher than the IFPI figure. That is because Midia employs a different methodology when doing its report and also includes the revenues that labels generate from things like brand partnerships and merchandise in to the stats. As we said, we're not going to be talking about these stats in any great detail today because we're going to be doing that elsewhere in CMU's new content series, our Industry Insights Briefing, which kicks off on Wednesday, the 3rd of April at 3:30 p.m. UK time. The CMU Industry Insights Briefing is a monthly one-hour webinar that will be taking place on the first Wednesday of every month. Each edition will be delivered live and also available on demand afterwards, and we'll see myself and my colleague Sam Taylor discuss the key facts, figures and trends driving the modern global music business. In the first edition, on Wednesday the 3rd of April, we'll be taking a closer look at the numbers behind the Warner and Believe story that we have mentioned on the podcast, as well as running through the various global revenue and consumption stats that have been released in recent weeks. The Industry Insights Briefing builds on our popular series of CMU Masterclasses, which we talked about on Setlist a few weeks ago. We're offering the Industry Insights Briefing at a slightly lower price point, partly because we want as many people to be able to take advantage of them as possible, but also to reflect the rapidly changing information in each edition. Each edition of the Industry Insights Briefing will be £39, but for the first few months, we'll be offering promo pricing, bringing the price down to just £15 per edition. And for Setlist listeners, we're going even further. By using the code SETLIST, you can get the first three editions of the new Industry Insights Briefing for just £15. That's £15 total for the first three editions, so £5 per edition. And for numbers fans out there, that is, and my calculator tells me, an 87.2% discount. To find out more and get that promo, go to cmu.fyi/setlistpromo. That's cmu.fyi/setlistpromo and use the code setlist when you check out.
You can also read our reports on all of the stats that were published this week and on everything discussed in this week's episode in the show notes in your podcast player or at completemusicupdate.com. And finally, on this edition of Setlist, UK record industry trade group BPI has threatened legal action against Voicify, which is a UK-based company that operates, in its own words, the number one platform for making high-quality AI covers in seconds. The voice clone service, says the BPI, has been built on the infringement of its members' sound recording copyrights, and to that end, it sent a formal legal letter to the company last month. In a statement, BPI General Counsel Kyron Whitehead said, "The music industry has long embraced new technology to innovate and grow, but Voicify and a growing number of others like them are misusing AI technology by taking other people's creativity without permission and making fake content. In doing so, they are endangering the future success of British musicians and their music."
Now, this service, Voicify, was actually referenced last year when the Recording Industry Association of America made its submission to the US government's annual Notorious Markets Review of Piracy Services, which was interesting at the time because it was the first occasion on which an AI-powered vocal cloning service had been formally included in a music industry piracy gripe list. At the time, it explained how users can upload a track to Voicify. Actually, usually we just put a YouTube link into a box, and then the service generates a new version of that track with vocals that sound like they were sung by a different artist. In its submission to the Notorious Markets Review, the RIAA said the service streamrips the YouTube video selected by the user, copies the a cappella from the track, modifies the a cappella using the AI vocal model, and then provides the user unauthorized copies of the modified a cappella stem, the underlying instrumental bed, and the modified remixed recording.
And so as far as the music industry is concerned, its rights are being infringed multiple times. Firstly, you've got the AI vocal model for each artist, which will have been trained with recordings by that artist, which means that those recordings had to be ingested and therefore copied. And the music industry will tell you that you need a license to do that. Then there's the ripping and processing of the track selected by the user. And in that process, the rights in the selected track would be infringed as well. Plus, there's the song rights, which are also being exploited in addition to the recording rights. And with that in mind, the Music Publishers Association, along with other music industry trade groups, are also backing the BPI in this battle with Voicify. And MPA CEO Paul Clements said, "The unethical use of AI by platforms such as Voicify threatens not only the livelihood of creators, but also the trust of music fans. For artificial intelligence to be successful for the UK music industry and the UK economy, we require a responsible, cooperative approach by all stakeholders, working in tandem and not aiming for the short-term gain for individuals abusing the system at the expense of the UK creative industries and the UK as a whole."
Now, as we said, the BPI sent a letter to Voicify threatening legal action last month, and it's thought that since then, Voicify has actually made some changes to the functionality of its platform, very possibly based on some of the complaints that the BPI made. It's also rebranded its service. It's actually no longer called Voicify. They somehow managed to come up with a worse name than Voicify. It has rebranded as Jammable. And according to a little update on what was the Voicify website, now the Jammable website, "The change in name is designed to represent, and I quote, our move away from just being an AI voice platform as we explore and offer new experiences for our users."
What happens next, legally speaking, will depend on Voicify's formal response to the BPI's letter. As we record, we understand that the trade group is yet to receive any formal response, although there has been a request for more time from Voicify's legal reps. Still, it may be that there is legal action to come. We know that many AI companies have argued that they don't need permission to use copyright-protected works to train generative AI models, relying on copyright exceptions in certain jurisdictions, or, as we've discussed before, the fair use principle under US law. However, the strength of that defence really depends on where a company's servers are based and the specifics of what any one company does with the music and what precedents are set in test cases in court. With voice cloning, there's also potentially legal claim beyond copyright, with an artist's publicity or personality rights also arguably being infringed. However, UK law doesn't currently provide publicity rights, which is why the focus of this dispute with the BPI is focused on copyright. That said, services like Voicify add more urgency to calls by the music industry for a publicity right to be introduced into UK law, something that was included in AI manifestos published by both UK Music and the Council of Music Makers last year.
We'll see how this story progresses. If it does get to court, it will be interesting. We know there are lots of court cases working their way through the system where copyright owners have sued AI companies over unlicensed training. But most of those cases so far have been around text or images rather than music. There is that one music case in the US, although actually that's about lyrics specifically, so also arguably a text case. So if this does go to court, it means we'll have here in the UK a big test case specifically on the use of recordings and on voice clones. So it would be super interesting. Let's see if that happens or whether or not they manage to settle.
But that's all we've got time for on this week's set list. We'll be back with another episode next week, and you can keep up with all the latest music industry news every day at completemusicupdate.com.